Good morning, all. I've titled this message, Jesus is Everything. So, piggybacking a wee bit off Neville's mathematical formula of Jesus plus nothing equals everything, I've simplified it to just Jesus is everything. And I guess the keystone verse I want to use today is Revelation 1:8. I guess I've been reflecting a lot on our time as a church as we've been going through the book of Colossians. Which is summarised, or at least contains, you know, one of the most comprehensive descriptions of who Jesus is. Been thinking also about how we're going to be looking as a church at the book of Revelation, which, as the name implies, is about what's going to happen, what Jesus is going to do, the things that are going to be revealed. So the basis for this brief talk is found in Revelation 1:8, where I've got red lettering, which generally means it's the words of Jesus being spoken. And it says in the New King James, and I invite you to turn with me to Revelation. There's actually a few verses here we'll work through. But Revelation 1 verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He covers off the beginning and the end. And thankfully, and thanks to Robin last week, who brought us the positions that Jesus holds, and some of the many, he helped us reflect on some of the many titles that Jesus has as well. Revelation 1 verse 11 goes on and repeats, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 1 verse 17, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Revelation 4 verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 21 verse 6, and he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Quite comprehensive, and it's, you know, that sentiment's repeated a number of times. If you'll turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 9 and 18, as that's where we've been bouncing between. Colossians 1, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Between Revelation and Colossians, the point really here is Jesus is everything. And we see that quite comprehensively there, especially from verse 14 onwards. I looked up some synonyms for preeminence as well, because it's kind of a funny word. So some other words that we have for preeminence would be superiority, supremacy, greatness, excellence, distinction. No one and nothing can compare to Jesus and who he is. Jesus is everything. This isn't just a New Testament thing either. It's not just something that we see in Revelation or hear about in Colossians, but Isaiah 44 verse 6 says, Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. So between that, we understand that Jesus was before all things. All things were created through him. And he's going to be beyond all things as well. So I guess the next thing I want to reflect on is everything else passes away, but he doesn't. At work, just this week, I was up in Christchurch and we were working through a strategy. So I was working with one of the businesses to develop a strategy to plan for the next year and the next 3 years. This strategy has goals, and the leader of the business is working through setting out what the goals are to work towards. And at this point, I'll acknowledge the passage in James 4 referring about boasting about tomorrow. But nevertheless, to be good stewards and to serve our master as well as the Bible calls us to do, we need to plan for how we're going to try and move the business forward. The business had an old strategy. Before I joined the business, they had a strategy, and they've probably had many strategies before that. We're currently working through the current strategy. And going forward, there will be a new strategy, Lord willing, if we're still all here. If we work for a couple of years or a leadership change happens and we get a new leader into the business, they might bring their own strategy and their own vision. That's at a business level. We can look a little bit bigger scale, and we can look at empires and grand empires that have come and gone. We can look at history. There's been lots of empires and leaders. We can think about the Romans, who eventually fell apart and were taken over by the barbarians. The Egyptians, the Greeks, Babylonians, Persians, all ancient empires. In more modern times, we can reflect on the English or the French empires. At one point, England actually had control over about 35% of the world, which is pretty incredible. But all of these empires are now a shadow of where they once were. A house divided can't stand, and we're seeing that with the likes of America or even our own politics. You've got different groups trying to pull things in different directions, and eventually things will fall apart there as well. I'm reminded of the it's a hymn or a song called Ancient of Days, and the lyrics go as this. Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one king reigning over all. Kingdoms rise and fall, and as time goes on, people will forget the past. Clothes, cars, phones, all will deteriorate and rust away. They'll become outdated, and you almost see this accelerated with consumerism these days and how businesses, through their strategies, are bent on trying to sell more and more products to people as part of their strategies. So I guess that's big grand empires, and that's on a smaller scale businesses. What about us as individuals? Well, first Timothy says this in chapter 4, verse 8, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Sounds a little bit familiar to the scriptures we've just been reading. If I reflect myself, I was once younger, fitter, stronger. I could bench press 100 kilos. I was reasonably fast and enjoyed tackling people a lot on the rugby field. That was for a season of my life, and now I've got a permanent click in one of my ankles and managed to damage my sternum 8 years ago, which still hasn't come right, although that was done through yawning and stretching of all things. So for all the rugby and rugby league I played, I managed to, my biggest injury came from a big stretch and yawning at the same time. So how fragile we are as humans. One day, if the Lord doesn't come first, I'll pass away. And that's not something to be sad about at all. God put us on the earth at the right time for his plans. We get to play a part in a much bigger picture. A much bigger plan, strategy, than anything we could have possibly planned, strategized, or dreamt up ourselves here on earth. And I find that pretty exciting. There's something happening that's much bigger than ourselves. Acts 13 verse 36 reads, for David, that's talking about King David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. Our time is short in the big picture, and we should use this time wisely to serve those around us as God calls us to do through the Bible. James chapter 4 verse 14, whereas you do not know that what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If we look at the whiteboard, and I apologise, it might be a bit small to see, but I've drawn two lines there. The first line is representative of the book of Genesis, and the second line is representative of the book of Revelation. If we think about time, it's a two-dimensional thing. And if we think about this whiteboard and picture it goes infinitely, the part that we actually see through the Bible is actually quite small. God is infinite, though, and he is outside of time. So imagine that whiteboard goes three-dimensionally as well. The timeline that we see is so small, and yet we get to have a wee part to play in that, and that's pretty cool. I actually once heard my workmate say, he's quite into space and planets and stuff, and he said the only way we can actually measure time is because we have gravity, and I thought, that's interesting. Yeah, we get to play a part in this whole picture. The one thing I want you to take away from this and to remember about everything in life is that Jesus is everything. My encouragement through all things is to look to the Lord. When Jesus called Peter to walk on the water in the storm in Matthew chapter 14 verses 22, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And he came towards Jesus. And what happened next? Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" I'm immensely thankful for the stories of Peter. I can certainly think of times in my life where I've taken my eyes off the Lord and found myself staring at some pretty big waves. I'm thankful that I wasn't the first to go through this, and I likely won't be the last, but I'm most thankful the fact that Jesus is right there when we call out to him, Abba Father, to reach out and carry us. I guess we'll never actually know all the waves. You know, we see the waves that we see in life, but we'll never actually know all the waves that the Lord doesn't even let us see. Which is pretty incredible and something to reflect on. As Neville said a couple of weeks ago, we're given the Spirit of God who dwells within us if we believe that Jesus is our Saviour. He helps us and prays on our behalf too, and Romans 8 talks about this, and I certainly encourage in your own time to go and look that up. It's very cool. I want us to look at everything through the lens of Jesus, and that's my encouragement to you. If we look at the world through this lens of Jesus, the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Colossians 3 reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." I encourage you to look at the world through the lens of Jesus holds everything together. Don't interpret things or listen to anyone that would argue or try and convince you otherwise. God is the ruler over all, and nothing happens that he doesn't allow. So what about when bad things happen? And bad things happen to me. I think if you look at it through the lens that Jesus is in control and God is in control, then you can ask yourself, what should I be learning here? And if nothing else, trust that the Lord is at work and God is actively at work. Job, as far as I know, was never told why he suffered the things that he did in the book of Job. From a human perspective, he lost almost everything, all of his worldly possessions. He had many children, lots of wealth, and it was all taken away because God allowed it to be. Job remained faithful to God, and God rewarded him. And I don't believe Job will have ever known how his story would help so many others. Trust that God is in control and can work all things to his good. Trust that you're part of a bigger plan, and remaining faithful to him, the Bible tells us, we will have our rewards when Jesus returns. I love old hymns, particularly been reflecting in the last year about one called I Ask the Lord That I Might Grow, which was written by John Newton, who also wrote Amazing Grace. And the last two verses of his song read like this: Lord, why is this I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayst find they're all in me. Store up your treasures in heaven, not your treasures on earth. I'm encouraging you to find your all in him that created you, and you'll find joy and peace that transcends all understanding. And I think that's what we were designed for as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 to 58 reads, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 goes on to say, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Look at everything through the lens that God is in control, and he will give you peace. Why have I been pondering these things as we've been talking about Colossians and Revelation? It's because all that matters is Jesus. It's what mattered at the beginning when he was the Alpha. It's what matters now, and it's what's going to matter at the end, as he is the Omega as well. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It's what mattered before we walked on the earth. It's what matters now, and it's going to matter significantly in the future, as I'm sure we're going to hear about as we go through the book of Revelation as a church. The hymn I Ask the Lord That I Might Grow and Amazing Grace were written in the 1700s. And if we think about that, that's sort of 300, getting on 300 years ago now. Still as relevant now as it ever was. There's nothing new under the sun, despite what people would like to think. Ecclesiastes is a great read too, if you want to contemplate the big picture. Repeat Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Another hymn I'll finish with, one of the verses of that, and this is one of my favorites. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you that he died and rose again, conquering death, that we might have everlasting life with you. I thank you for this time where we can reflect on your word and reflect on the promises I just pray that as we go into this week and we face whatever it is that we face, Lord, I just pray that we would have you at the forefront of our minds, that we would look at whatever the situation is through the lens that you are in control, Lord. And I thank you for the peace that we can have in that. Amen.